Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
Going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to begin reading in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Man, that is a passage plumb full of things. Yeah. See, the key thing that I have to remember and I have to try to do is to narrow something down. Because we only got a certain amount of time. I only have a certain amount of ability. My title today is All Things Are of God. And you think, okay, that's good. I can narrow that down. And I get to looking at the word all things. The actual phrase all things is used 138 times in the New Testament. But here, the same word is used 1,213 times in the New Testament. It's just translated all things 138 times. So here's the thing. The Bible is concerned about all things. The world is not concerned about all things. They're concerned about their thing. Churches today, religious societies today, are concerned about their thing. Jesus Christ concerns all things. But anyhow, verse 17 starts off, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If any man be in Christ. This is one of those two things. There's two ways you can be in this world. You're either in Christ or you're without Christ. That's the two things. You are either in Christ, and I'm saying it this way on purpose because this is the way the scripture says, you are without Christ. Right. That's the scriptural word. I know the opposite of in is out. But that's not what the scripture says. And there's a very good reason for it. It's just like the opposite of saved is lost. Well, the opposite for us, in, but the opposite in the scripture, instead of being in Christ, you are without Christ. Because there is a very real sense in which nothing and no one is outside of Jesus Christ. Nothing and no one is outside of the creation, outside of the view, or outside of the authority and power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And understand this. This is not talking about being chosen in Christ. This is talking about being in Christ. There is a difference. There is a difference. Now, granted, postulated, proven as a fact. Everyone who is in Christ, being in Christ, was elected in Christ before the foundation of the world. But everyone who has been elected in Christ Jesus is not called in yet. And he's talking to those who know Jesus Christ, being in Christ. If you are in Christ, you are a new creature. A new creation is the word. A new creation. Those in Christ now are a new creation. Because if any man be in Christ, there is a renewing of the mind. There's something in you now that didn't used to be. Actually, I said that wrong. There's someone in you now that didn't used to be in you. His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. What? How are we changed? It's not anything you see outwardly. But it does say in Titus 3 and 5, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing, the renovation of your mind. 1 Corinthians says, we have the mind of Christ. We have the understanding of Christ. Just a little bit. But you understand, that little bit, that through a glass darkly that we can see now, the whole world is blind to and know nothing about it. But we are a new creature, a new creation. And I like this, old things are passed away. Well, yeah. It didn't say and. No, he said, behold. Behold. What? All things are become new. Now, old ways may not all be past. You understand? We still sin. It's not talking about sin's gone. Old things are past. No. But here's the thing. Behold, all things are become new. You, as a believer, being in Christ, will look at your old life in a different light. You will see. You will know. I've said it before up here. I'll say it again. I'll say it right now. The believer is the only one who can understand the old man and the new man. The world has no idea about the new man. And they don't really see the old man correctly. They might understand they might have some faults and failures and they might want to be better. But you don't understand. They don't understand. The new man sees the old man as fallen. Not fixable. Fallen. In my flesh still right now dwells no good thing. Behold, all things are come new. I didn't used to know that. I didn't think my flesh was my enemy. But, oh, I am my own worst enemy. Not only my flesh, my mind. Not only my mind, my tongue. Not only my tongue, my heart. Oh, all things are become new. If you want to see some more about this old creation, this new creation, read Romans 7. Paul explains it in there really well. But if you are in Christ, you have new thoughts, you have new actions, you have new feelings, and the old ones too. But you see them in a new way. You realize what they are. There was a battle. Wait a minute. There was no battle before I became a new creature. There was no battle. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are new. And here's the words, and all things are of God. I like it. And all things are of God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Guess what? That's a thing of God. What? That's a work of God. This is a continuation of the previous verse, writing of those who be in Christ. Now, please understand, I want to say this right now, Jesus Christ created all things that were created. Period. You read John 1, chapter 1. Jesus Christ, the Word was with God, the Word was God, and nothing was created without Him. He is the creator of all things. But I was reading some things here, and in this place and in this scripture, most commentators that I've read, and actually a preacher we know, an article which kind of got me thinking about this, they said, where Paul's writing this, and all things are of God, and it said, who hath reconciled us to himself? It's saying, in the context, this is talking about all things having to do with reconciliation. All things having to do with being reconciled. And that's certainly true. It is true. All things are of God. But then I just had this little thought in my head. And I mean, it sometimes happens. I get thoughts every now and then. And I thought, wait a minute. Because for a minute there, I think, well, maybe this is one of them crazy thoughts and I might not need to say anything about it. But the more I thought about it, the more it kind of dragged into me and just kept bothering me. And it's a question I had. Now, I suppose you may have realized by now that I'm going to ask you this question because it's been bothering me for a bit. But here's the question I had when I read that from those commentators. What on Christ's earth, what in God's universe doesn't have to do with the reconciliation? The more I thought about it, I couldn't think anything. It's not sin, because that's why we need to be reconciled. It's not us, because we're the ones that need to be reconciled. I mean, all things are of God, yes. And certainly in this context, redemption, righteousness, justification, regeneration, repentance, walk, preservation, final deliverance, the completion of our salvation, the putting on of an immortal body, the new heaven and the new earth, all of that has to do with the reconciliation. And certainly this time of year, Christ coming into the world. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what the angel told Joseph. And it is also his life, his confounding of the doctors of law as a boy. His first miracle, turning water into alcoholic wine. You got to get over that if that bothers you. It says he made wine, and the word is wine. His preaching, his whole ministry, preaching the gospel, healing the sick, raising the dead, all going toward the cross at Calvary. His death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, and his being seated at the right hand of the Father. He is ever living to make intercession for us. All have to do with the reconciliation. The Old Testament sacrifices were pictures of the reconciliation to come. The sacrifices, the offerings. We say it because it's true that the whole Bible is the book of Christ. It's all about the story of Christ from beginning to end. Therefore, I'll say it, this whole Bible is a book about the reconciliation of Christ. He is coming, but he came with a purpose. It's about him. It's about his reconciliation. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Oh, I like that. He is, Jesus Christ is, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Oh, I like that. I do. And I remember one time years ago, decades ago now, I guess, hearing Henry Mahan saying, "What makes you think that God would not be concerned with that which is nearest and dearest of his heart, his well-beloved son?" God is concerned with everything Christ did, everything Christ does, and everything Christ shall do. People treat it like it's a sideline. Well, believe on Jesus, you'll be saved, and then learn to live for the Lord. Well, if you do believe Jesus Christ, the Christ, through the working of his mighty power, you shall be saved. But here's the thing. It tells you to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God himself is all about the one, Jesus Christ, his son. He has placed everything in his hands. The Lord's committed unto me all judgment. He's given him power over all flesh. What? That I might give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. What's it say? All things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, God has reconciled him to himself by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has reconciled his people to God. It says it in past tense. Those first great 8 words of 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. But of him, of God, are ye in Christ Jesus. Being in Christ Jesus. If any man be in Christ Jesus, why? It's because of God. It's because of God. And it's because of you have been reconciled by Christ to God. Too many people, I don't want to go into that. I don't want to say that. But here's the thing. If you be in Christ Jesus, you believe Christ Jesus. And you are reconciled to God. You are reconciled to God. And all things are of God. And this is a wonderful part here. And hath given to us, what? The ministry of reconciliation. God has given us a message. A message. The ministry of reconciliation. What? That it's been accomplished. It's done. What? The great transaction's done. And the results of that great transaction are redemption and reconciliation, righteousness and justification, eternal life. Oh my. If you be in Christ, if you believe Christ, you are reconciled to God. That's the message. That's the message. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the message. Go out into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. That's what it says. That's the ministry of reconciliation. That's the message that we've been given. That Jesus Christ is all our salvation. Oh. God was in Christ. The next verse says, reconciling the world unto himself. That's the message. He's redeemed us. He has justified us. He's regenerated us, if ye be in Christ. He has given us his faith. He has granted us repentance. And he keeps us by his power. And he promises that he will never leave you nor forsake you. You understand? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. And it's not because I'm strong. It's not because I'm smart. It's not because I know anything. It's because thou art with me. A believer never walks alone. He is with us. That's the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus Christ is our message. He's the gospel. He's the good news. Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. Christ came to seek and to save sinners. Are you a sinner? Are you a sinner? Do you really know it down deep? Because I'm going to tell you something. If you actually really get a feeling of your sin, not sins I'm talking about. You can get a feeling for those too. But sin being what you are, sins being what you do, God may be working in you. Because that's what he'll do. He'll let you see you just a little bit of what you are. But he came to save sinners. And God was in Christ reconciling all of his people unto himself. You understand where it says God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself? Read the next part of that verse and you'll see who he's talking about. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. That's what reconciliation means. It's not saying, you understand? There are trespasses. They're ours. And they're not imputed unto us. Oh, I like that thought. I do. That's reconciliation. It's not saying you're going to be sinless. You know, when being in Christ doesn't mean that you're sinless in yourself. It means that you're sinless in Christ. God laid on him all of our trespasses. Our trespasses are gone. If ye be in Christ. Your trespasses are gone. Your sins are gone. Your transgressions are gone. God laid on him all the iniquity of us all. Christ bore them in his body on the cross at Calvary. They've been punished in perfect holiness and perfect justice. And he is not imputing our trespasses unto us. That's our message. In Christ, ye are saved. And has committed unto us this word of reconciliation. The word of restoration to divine favor. Christ has redeemed us and reconciled us to God by himself. By himself. You understand? We were of no help whatsoever. Dead men are no help. And that's what we were. But even without any help from us, the Lord is satisfied with the work of his son, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Oh my. We are to preach that salvation is of the Lord Jesus Christ. All things are of God, all of salvation, all of redemption, all of regeneration, all of reconciliation, all of justification, all of wisdom, all power, all might. Everything is of God. All things. Here. One more thing I want to read. I'm going to quit. For of him, this is Romans 11:36. For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Isn't that good? I want to read you something John Gill said. He wrote it about that verse. Of him and through him and to him are all things. He put it this way. He said, not only all things in nature and providence, he being the maker and efficient cause of things, and the preserver and supporter of them in their beings, and to whose glory they are all designed and directed, but all things in grace. I love that. Owe their origin to him as their first cause. They are produced by him and made for his glory. They all spring from his sovereign will and are brought about by his almighty power. And tend to the glory of his grace. I like that, I do. As does everything in election, redemption, and regeneration. Period. All things are of God. All things are of God. He made them and he gives them. And yes, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. All things. All things. To whom be glory, glory forever. There's a song that's got this verse in it. He takes a sinner, vain and wild, and makes him as a little child, subdues his will and guides his feet and draws him to the mercy seat. Let all creation lift its voice, and in the Lord let us rejoice. Let all his works praise and confess the glory of his righteousness.